This morning before his lesson, the Bible scripture reading this morning will be taken from Acts, the 8th chapter. Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 35. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come down to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he had read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began, beginning at this scripture, preaching Jesus to him.
Good morning. It's good to be back here. Nancy Miller sent me a text this morning and said there will be a lot of people out for the Winterfest, and a lot of families, she said, will be out, and her family traveling, but I'm going to text her at the end of services and said, "We did a lot better than last week," so see what she says about that. It is a privilege to be back here. I really enjoy being here. My family enjoys it. I want to thank you as the congregation and the elders and the deacons for this privilege. This morning's lesson, I've entitled this, "Do We Understand What God Expects From Us?" We have several expectations in our life. Growing up with two older brothers, there was a lot of expectations on us. And I want to look at that the way I look at the scriptures here this morning. If you listen to what was read there in Acts chapter 8, you have the Ethiopian eunuch who's trying to understand the scriptures. And he says, "How can I understand them unless somebody explains them to me?" Well, as a kid, I was the youngest of three, and we used to help my father around the house. A lot of times I was the gopher. I had to go get this, go get that, because I was the youngest. And many times they would ask me to go get a tool. And I could always remember the tool I could never get, because I didn't know what it was a pair of channel locks. I had no idea what channel locks were. I'd bring pliers back. I would bring a screwdriver back. Because I didn't know exactly what I was looking for. But after about the second time, I figured out what I was looking for, because my dad was waiting on that tool. I had to have somebody explain what they were, what they looked like. And then after that, I knew exactly what I needed. I knew that my dad needed those channel locks to work on something. I knew what the use of them were for. Well, the same thing here is with the scriptures. God gives us exactly what He expects from us in this manual. This right here is the manual I need. At Christmas time, my kids open up gifts and it comes with directions. I open them up and there's 72 steps I have to follow. And I look at the last step and I see exactly what is expected from me to put this together. I read the scriptures and I look exactly what God expects from me. And please mark your Bibles. We'll come back to Acts chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, or go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting with verse 16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness,
so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It sums it up right there. The scripture is there for us to train me, to rebuke me when I'm doing wrong, to correct me. It tells me exactly how I should live. Everything I need to do. We go to Myrtle Beach about every summer. And before we go, I can probably tell you every road we take. But I get out the road atlas, and I have it highlighted exactly where I get off, what exit, what road I take here. And I study that, just to make sure I know exactly where I'm going. If you stand outside Walmart this afternoon, you ask everybody that walks in, say, do you want to go to heaven? Yes. Do you know how to get there? Well, not really. Why? They haven't studied that roadmap. Do we study that roadmap of how to get to heaven? You know, we have GPS, we have an atlas, we have everything that tells us where to go. But it's like that GPS, when we get off that track, it says recalculating. Well, when we're off track here, we need to get back into God's Word and recalculate what He expects from us. Because His Scripture is God-breathed. He approves it. He tells Corey Powell exactly how he should live. What he expects from you, what he expects from me. Just like my dad expected me to bring that right tool, God expects me to bring myself to Him. In Matthew chapter 22, starting with verse 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. He said, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's what God expects from you. That's what God expects from me, to love Him more than your family? Yes. More than your job? Yes. More than that basketball team your son's on? Yes. More than that TV show? Yes. To put God above everything else. Everything. God comes first. That's exactly the commandment that Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. That's what God expects from us. And I know sometimes it is easy to live up to the expectations. But we have to. And how do we do that? By studying God's Word and knowing His Word. God is what comes first in our lives. Above everything else. In Mark 16 and 16, Jesus says what? He that believeth in me and is baptized will be saved. So, Jesus, the Son of God, says, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Does God expect us to be baptized? Does God expect you to go into the waters of baptism? Yes. Jesus says that. So you're telling me, Corey, and I use this excuse a lot of times growing up. I told you before, I was 25 before I decided to accept the gospel. My mother and my father used to sit down and they used to ask me, Corey, why aren't you baptized? Why didn't you get baptized? Do you believe? Yes, I believe. I said, well, that's it. That's all I have to do is believe. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And I would use the reasoning, it doesn't say I didn't have to be baptized. It says, if I don't believe, but I believe. About 15 years ago, I had a neighbor live beside of me. He'd always ask me to go to church with him, and I kept saying, no, no, that's all right. Finally, one time he said, and it was a denomination over here in St. Clairsville. He said, come to church with me. He said, they're having a steak dinner. He said, come on over, and it was during the week sometime. I said, sure, I'll go over. So I went over in this elaborate building. Hundreds and hundreds of people. I was just, wow, it's amazing. Preacher got up there, and I looked, and I saw these instruments. They didn't use those. They had two different services, contemporary, traditional. I thought that was a little odd. And I was young and naive. Then all of a sudden, the preacher got up, and he says, if you believe in Jesus, come forward. And all these individuals, all these young individuals, high school students alike, came forward. I thought to myself, I'm going to see something like the day of Pentecost, where they saw 3,000 people added to the church. And the preacher got up and he said, do you believe in Jesus? And they said, yes. He said, you're saved. I walked through him. Well, was he going to baptize them? No, he didn't. He told those individuals, all you had to do was believe. And you were saved. And they walked away thinking they were good to go. Why? They didn't study the Scriptures. Go to John chapter 14. John 14. Verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. For now on, you do not know Him and have seen Him. Go over to verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not mine. They belong to the Father who sent me. So if you believe in Jesus, you're going to do what he says. I want to go back to my Myrtle Beach trip. This will, because we have a lot of stories that happen on our way down there. But anyway, we always get lost. And how do we know we get lost? Because it's the universal sign that you're lost. What happens? You turn the radio down. So then the kids keep asking, are we lost, Daddy? Are we lost? And I'm usually the ones panicking, saying, yes, yes. And Nikki's like, no, no, we're good. But anyway, we always get lost somewhere. And when I have to stop and I ask for directions, I ask an individual, how do I get back on Interstate 74? He'll say, you go to the light, you take a right. Go to the stop sign, take a left, go down a straight stretch there, and you'll see it. Take a right up on the interstate. If I believe that individual, I'm not going to go to the light and take a right and go to the stop sign and go a different direction. Ah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I believe what he tells me, so I do what? I follow his directions all the way. If I believe in Jesus, and you believe in Jesus, are you going to follow his directions all the way? Yes. Jesus says what? If you believe in me, you'll obey my teachings, which he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Those are the words of Jesus. So if I believe in him, I'm going to go that full distance. I'm going to follow exactly what he says. Not what a man says. Not what a man says that a denomination says all you got to do is believe and you're good to go. I'm going to do exactly what the Word of God, what my manual tells me to do. What it tells you to do as Christians. So God does expect us to be baptized. Go over to the book of Peter there. 2 Peter. Chapter 3, I believe. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3. starting with verse 8. He says, "But do not forget this one thing, friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Everyone. God wants everyone's soul to come to repentance, to come to God. So are you saying, Corey, the leaders of ISIS that are over there in Iraq and in Syria, God wants them to come to repentance? Yes. God wants their soul. God wants our soul. God wants all of us. He is patient. And I like what the Scripture says there, wanting everyone. No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your last name is, God wants your soul. That's what He expects from you. He expects you to give your life to Him. Even those people on the day of Pentecost, where over 3,000 souls were added to the church, wouldn't that have been something to see? Many of those people yelled, "Crucifying, crucifying," were guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But let me ask you this, brothers and sisters. When they were baptized and added to the church, was that sin forgiven? Yes, it was. The people who were guilty of murdering the Son of God, the beautiful thing that we have, that sin was forgiven. Not only forgiven, but God says what? "I'll remember them no more." How? Through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. If God gave His Son, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. God sent His Son for us. The least we can do is give our life to God. The expectations aren't that much to give your life to God. And the beautiful thing that we have, Jesus paid all the debt for us. All the debt. Each year, last couple years, I've got my AAA membership renewed. And it costs me every year to renew that. And this year my mom renewed it for my birthday. I have to pay that membership every year to belong to AAA. To get my AAA card. Do I have to pay membership every year to be a member of the church? No. I don't get something in the mail where it says, "Hey, your dues are due." They're not. Jesus paid all our dues for us. When they nailed Him to the cross, He paid our dues for the rest of our life. When Jesus was hanging upon that cross, thinking of you and thinking of me, He paid our dues. Are we paying our dues for God? Are we studying this manual? Are we on the right track? And putting God first. That's every day. James chapter 1. And I use the scripture a lot. You have your Bibles there. In James chapter 1. Listen to what James tells us here. James chapter 1 verse 22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." This has happened to me a lot. Every morning at our house, we all get up for school. And my wife and I are getting ready for work. The kids are getting ready. It's just complete mayhem. There have been several times I've went to school and I get to school and I look in the mirror and I think, "I didn't brush my hair. It's out everywhere. I'm thinking, how did three people not say, Dad, you want to brush your hair? I forgot what I look like. But when I get to school and I look, I see, oh man, I can't do that as a Christian. I can't put my Christian face on and do my expectations of God when I'm in these four walls. It's outside these four walls. I have to do what it says. God expects me to be that Christian 24/7. Whether I'm at the mall, whether I'm at a restaurant, whether I'm at Myrtle Beach, wherever I'm at, my expectations as a Christian are there from God to put Him first. James tells us that. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Put it into practice. Study this. Know this. Be prepared. That's what God expects. Let us go back to the Ethiopian eunuch here, then I will close. If you go back to Acts chapter 8, what we started out with. In Acts chapter 8 there, I'm going to pick back up at 34. Then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet about talking about himself or someone else? And Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave the orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Did the Ethiopian eunuch know all the Scriptures? Did he know them all? No, he didn't. Now, I've heard my grandmother say several times, I would rather have somebody say I lived my Bible than I know my Bible. Think about that. Do we live our Bible? We might not have to know it all, but do we live it? The Ethiopian eunuch knew enough to say what? There is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? The same thing you need to ask yourself this morning. Why shouldn't I be baptized? What is keeping me from being added to the church? I don't have to pay any more dues. Christ paid them all for me. Do I believe? Yes. Then come forward. Confess, repent, and be baptized, and be added to the church. You don't join, you're added to the church. The Ethiopian eunuch was added to the church because he knew there was water. Why shouldn't I? I believe in Jesus. I believe what you're telling me. You need to ask yourself that question this morning. What is keeping you from God, from Jesus? The expectations are there. We need to live up to them. We need to study God's Word and put God first in our lives. Do we know enough? Corey, I know enough to come forward. Then why not? Don't be like me. For those several years, I made that excuse. Well, I believe, and that's good enough. Don't be like those individuals where they came forward and the preacher said, you're good to go. Be like the Ethiopian eunuch and say to yourself, there is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Put Christ first in your life this morning. Do you want to come to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven and come to Jesus? Do you want to put Jesus in your life? Be added to the church. And every sin that you've ever committed is wiped away and remembered no more. Please come as we stand and as we sing.